A Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are taking on, well, maybe the biggest narrative history project ever attempted. Will and Ariel Durant's The Story of Civilization.
It's huge. I mean, 11 volumes. They spent 50 years on it covering something like 5,000 years of history. Just monumental.
Right. So our job today, for you, the learner, is, well, it's a big ask. How do we boil down this entire library, economics, science, art, philosophy, war, everything into the essential stuff, the knowledge you can actually use to make sense of right now?
Yeah, the kind of operating manual for human history, maybe?
Exactly.
And it feels incredibly relevant today, doesn't it? You look around at polarization, tech disruption, it all feels so chaotic, so unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
But the Durants, they offer this incredible framework. They argue history isn't just random events happening. There are patterns, crucial, observable patterns, cycles even.
And seeing those cycles helps you kind of zoom out, right? You stop feeling maybe quite so overwhelmed by the daily news cycle. You get perspective.
Perspective, yeah. That's the key word.
Okay, so before we get into the different eras they cover, let's unpack the why. What was the big ambition behind this enormous project?
Well, their goal was something they called integral history.
Integral history.
Yeah, they weren't happy with history being chopped up into, you know, politics over here, philosophy over there, art in another box.
Right, the usual academic silos.
Exactly. They saw history as this interconnected whole, like a living thing. To understand, say, the art of an era, you have to understand its economy, its morals, its beliefs.
The full picture.
The full picture, the synthesis. That's what they were after.
And getting that synthesis, it wasn't just one person. It was a partnership, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely crucial. It starts with William James Durant. He was the philosopher, the big thinker. His earlier book, The Story of Philosophy, was a bestseller.
And that success basically bankrolled this massive undertaking.
Pretty much, yeah. He was searching for meaning. The grand sweep of ideas. But you really can't understand the depth of the story of civilization without Ariel Durant.
Ariel, yeah. Chaya Kaufman, originally. She started as a student.
Student and research assistant, yeah. But her role just grew and grew. She only got co-author credit later in the series from volume 7, I think.
Right.
But her influence was there much earlier, really shifting the focus.
How so? What did she bring?
She pushed it beyond just, you know, great men and kings and battles. She focused on social history, what was life actually like for ordinary people, the culture, the family, the human drama.
So he brought the philosophical framework, maybe,
yeah.
And she brought the lived reality.
Kind of, yeah. It's their combined effort, that rigorous scholarship over 5 decades that gives it this unique, integral vision. High-level ideas grounded in messy human experience.
And that vision led them to their main argument, their thesis.
Yes, which is basically that civilization itself, it's not an accident. It's humanity's greatest achievement, but it's also incredibly fragile.
Fragile. That's interesting, because we tend to think of history as progress, right? Like a straight line upwards.
We do. But the Durants really questioned that. The core question they kept asking across all 11 volumes was about the life cycle of civilization.
Okay, like
how does it arise? Why does it flourish, sometimes so brilliantly? Then why does it decay? And maybe most importantly, how does it pass on its heritage? You know, how does Roman law or Islamic science get picked up and used centuries later?
And the answer they found wasn't that straight line of progress.
Not at all. That's what makes it so relevant now. They found history isn't linear. It's full of these recurring cyclical patterns.
Cycles. Like what sort of patterns?
Well, think about wealth concentration. They show how it builds up and up in societies again and again. And that pressure always leads to some kind of redistribution, sometimes peaceful, sometimes pretty violent.
Okay, I can see that.
Or the swing between, say, periods of intense religious belief and then periods of skepticism and secularism back and forth.
And freedom versus order.
That's the big one, the eternal balancing act. Too much freedom, you risk chaos. Too much order, you get tyranny. Every society they looked at wrestled with that, just in different ways. Mm. Same dramas, different costumes.
Okay, let's walk through some of those costumes then. Let's look at the epics. They start, maybe surprisingly for some, not with Greece, but with their Oriental heritage.
Yeah, that's crucial. They shatter that Western-centric view from the get-go. Civilization didn't just pop up in Athens.
So where did it start, according to them?
Sumeria, Egypt, Babylon, Those early societies, they figured out agriculture, settled down, built cities. They gave the West fundamental tools writing, organized law, astronomy.
Even early monotheism.
The roots of it, yeah. Geography was key there. Those river valleys made it all possible. It's the foundation.
Right. So the East lays the foundation. Then comes the life of Greece, the cradle of the Western mind, as they put it.
And right away, you see that core tension we just talked about. Individual freedom versus the demands of the state, civic duty.
Which is why we're still reading Plato and Socrates.
That's true.
Asking the same questions.
Exactly. They laid down the fundamental questions about truth, about governance. But the Durants also show how fragile that Greek experiment was. All that brilliance, that democracy. It was intense, competitive, and maybe couldn't sustain itself.
It set an impossible standard, perhaps.
Maybe. It sort of collapsed under its own weight eventually.
Okay, so Greece gives us the ideas, the mind. But those ideas needed a body, maybe. Which brings us to Rome in Caesar and Christ. Rome succeeded where Greece failed, in a way.
In terms of stale and endurance, yes. Rome's genius wasn't really philosophy. It was practical stuff. Organization, law, administration, building roads.
Making things work across a huge empire.
Exactly. That's how they created the Pax Romana, 2 centuries of relative peace and stability. Unprecedented. But while Rome was building the empire's body,
Christianity was building its soul.
That's a good way to put it. This spiritual revolution was happening, offering a new moral code, a different kind of meaning.
And the Durants look at how those two things, Roman order and Christian belief, came together.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It wasn't just a simple mix. It was more like layering. The Roman legal structures provided the framework, the skeleton, and Christianity provided the moral glue, the spirit, especially as the political empire started to crumble in the West.
And that synthesis becomes the medieval period.
That's the argument. It defines the next era.
Which they call the Age of Faith. Mm-hmm. And they really push back against calling it the Dark Ages, don't they?
They do. They argue it was only dark if you were only looking at Western Europe and ignoring everything else.
Like what?
Well, the Byzantine Empire was preserving all that classical Greek learning. And crucially, the Islamic world was having this incredible intellectual golden age. Huge advances in science, medicine, mathematics.
All in Europe.
In Europe, things were more fragmented, feudal, but the Catholic Church provided that essential unity, that moral order, in a pretty chaotic time. So not dark everywhere, just different centers of light.
Okay. And that stability eventually allows for the next big shift, the Renaissance, the rebirth.
The rebirth of humanism, yeah.
Right.
A shift from a God-centered view back to a more human-centered one.
Celebrating human potential. Leonardo da Vinci, the ultimate Renaissance man.
Right, blending art and science. It was a period of just dazzling creativity. But the Durants are careful to show the flip side.
Which was?
Incredible instability, political corruption, shifting alliances, constant warfare between these Italian city-states. So genius and chaos side by side.
And that tension, that instability within the brilliance, that leads kind of directly into the next big break. The Reformation.
You could say that. The Reformation volume really highlights the sheer power of ideas. One person, Martin Luther, challenging the entire system.
But it wasn't just him, was it? It was the context.
Absolutely. The key factor, the printing press. Suddenly, Luther's ideas could spread like wildfire. It took religious authority away from the centralized church and effectively put it into the hands of individuals reading the Bible for themselves.
Democratizing religion.
In a way, yes. And that didn't just split the church. It completely reshaped politics in Europe, led to wars, new nations. It really set the stage for the modern world's focus on the individual.
Wow. Okay. So going from Sumerian writing to the printing press, that's a huge sweep. If you had to pull out the biggest themes, the main messages for us today, what would they be?
I think the first one has to be the unity of human experience.
I mean,
meaning, despite all the differences in time, place, culture, humans fundamentally face the same challenges, have the same basic needs and desires.
And find similar solutions.
Often, yeah. Similar ideas about law or morality or community pop up independently. Studying this huge span of history, it connects you to that shared humanity. It's not just them back then, it's us.
That's powerful. Okay, what's another one?
The fragility of civilization. This is huge for them. It's not the default state of humanity. It's an achievement. And it has to be learned and earned by each generation anew.
It can be lost.
Easily. Will Durant had that famous metaphor, history is like a stream, mostly filled with violence, poverty, the struggle for existence. Civilization is like the thin banks on either side, the order, the art, the culture, the security.
And those banks can erode.
Exactly. They require constant effort, constant vigilance to maintain. We often take them for granted, living on the banks, ignoring the chaotic stream.
That sounds a bit bleak, the stream being chaos and blood. But you said earlier they saw patterns, cycles. If the banks get rebuilt after eroding, doesn't that suggest resilience too?
No, definitely. That's the flip side. Their pessimism about fragility is matched by maybe an optimism about human persistence. We mess up, things collapse, but then we rebuild, we innovate.
Okay, so fragility, but also resilience. What's the third key theme?
It's that balancing act we mentioned, the balance between order and freedom.
The eternal tug of war.
Precisely. Every era, every society they study is grappling with this. Lean too far towards freedom, you get chaos, instability, maybe collapse. Lean too far towards order, you get stagnation, tyranny.
And there's no perfect permanent solution.
Doesn't seem like it. It's a constant negotiation, a challenge every political system faces, then and now. Looking at history shows you the consequences of getting that balance wrong.
It's like a laboratory for governance?
In a way, yeah.
Beyond these big themes, the Durants were just brilliant writers. They left behind some incredibly memorable lines, didn't they? Real philosophical nuggets.
They really did. They could condense so much thought into a single sentence.
What's one that stands out for you?
Well, there's that line. Civilization exists by geological consent, subject to change without notice.
Wow. Okay, untack that.
It's about humility, right? Our amazing cities, our complex societies, they depend not just on our own efforts, but on the planet being relatively stable. Climate, resources. It reminds you that civilization is precious and dependent on factors often outside our control.
It links us to the physical world?
Okay, what else?
How about this one, which speaks to their own massive effort? History is mostly guessing, the rest is prejudice.
Huh. After writing 11 volumes. Exactly. It's that intellectual humility again. Even with all their research, they're acknowledging that history isn't a perfect science. You're always interpreting incomplete evidence, always selecting what seems important.
And your own biases creep in.
Inevitably. It's a good reminder for us as readers to approach any history, even this one, critically.
Okay, one more. Maybe one that really hits home for today.
I think this one does. The present is the past rolled up for action, and the past is the present unrolled for understanding.
Say that again.
The present is the past rolled up for action, and the past is the present unrolled for understanding.
Okay. So the past isn't just dead and gone.
Yeah.
It's in the present, influencing what we do.
Exactly. Yeah. And the only way to truly understand why things are the way they are now, the debates, the conflicts, the institutions, is to unroll the past. To see how we got here.
Otherwise, we're just reacting without context?
Right. We're stuck in the drama without knowing the plot.
So let's make this practical for the listener. How can you apply this huge work right now? What are the real-life applications?
Well, the most immediate one is developing historical perspective, like we said at the start.
So when you see a news story about, say, wealth inequality or political division,
you ask yourself, okay, where have I seen this pattern before in the Durant story? Is this like late Republican Rome? Is it like the tensions before the Reformation? It stops feeling like a unique end of the world crisis.
It reduces the panic, fosters a bit more patience.
Exactly. And related to that is informed civic responsibility.
How so?
By seeing how different systems, republics, empires, democracies, theocracies, how they rose and fell, what worked and what didn't, it gives you a much sharper lens for looking at politics today.
You can evaluate current leaders or policies against that historical backdrop. Yeah. See the potential pitfalls.
Right. You recognize the warning signs because history has flagged them before. Greece, Rome, Renaissance Italy. The lessons are there.
And beyond the political, is there a personal application?
I think so. Just the act of journeying through 5,000 years of human striving, the art, the ideas, the struggles, it's incredibly humbling and inspiring.
Connects you to something bigger than yourself.
Absolutely. It encourages that lifelong love of learning. And it frames your own life, your own efforts, as part of this immense ongoing human story. You're not isolated. You're a participant.
That's a really profound thought.
Yeah.
Okay, final takeaways. What's the one thing that really stuck with you or maybe surprised you from diving back into the Durants?
For me, revisiting it now, it's that theme of resilience and creativity. You read about so much conflict, so much destruction, empires falling, dark ages.
Yeah, it can seem relentless.
It can. But despite all that, humanity consistently responds with new ideas, new art, new ways of organizing, new bursts of wisdom. The banks of that stream might erode, but people always seem to find a way to rebuild them, often stronger or differently. That persistence is really striking.
Yeah, I agree. That resilience is powerful. For me, I think the key learning is how individual lives find meaning by connecting to that larger story. The Durants make you feel like understanding this vast human heritage isn't just academic. It's about understanding yourself.
Right. To know who we are now, we have to claim all of it. The good, the bad, the brilliant, the tragic. It's all our inheritance.
And that knowledge, that perspective, feels like the ultimate tool for navigating the present.
Couldn't agree more.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ecatra Foundation.